You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Why don't you spill your guts? Tell us everything.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Okay, I'll talk. In third grade, I cheated on my history exam. In fourth grade, I stole my Uncle Max's toupee and I glued it on my face.
Well, now we got that straight. Know those movie clips? Well, you know that it's time for Friday Movies with Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer here, as always. Movie Date podcast team. In addition to hosting the podcast, Rafer's film critic for Newsday, Kristen, culture producer for The Takeaway. You can subscribe to the Movie Date podcast at facebook.com/Movie Date Podcast. Welcome.
Hi,
thanks,
John. Nice to
welcome.
Be here.
And we begin with a Prohibition movie era. This era has never really worked for me cinematically. I find it fascinating in historical terms. It's like kind of like baseball movies. They don't often hit really, really well. But first of all, let's hear a clip.
I'm not a bit like you, Nard. I ain't never been like you.
Jack, it is not the violence that sets man apart. All right, it is the distance that he is prepared to go. We are survivors. We control the fear. And without the fear, we are all as good as dead.
Rafer, what's the premise and the cast and the point of view here?
Well, it's based on a kind of a fictionalized version of Matt Bondurant's ancestors in Virginia. It's the wettest county in the world was the book. And so it's about a trio of bootlegging brothers in Virginia who... everything's going smoothly. Their cops are customers. All the gang violence is out in the cities. It's a great time for everyone until a guy named Charlie Rakes from Chicago comes in, appoints himself deputy, and begins to crack down on them. And this leads to a blood feud. Lots of personal revenge taking and such.
The cops try to shut down the party. Is this movie much of a party, Kristen?
I didn't find it much of a party. I thought it was really beautiful to look at, kind of like a live action Dorothea Lange postcard sort of picture, I thought, on the surface. But I found it to be overly complicated. I thought the characters were underdeveloped, particularly Guy Pearce, who plays the deputy who comes into town. I didn't quite know what to make of him, if he was supposed to be fancy, if he was supposed to be tough. I couldn't understand what his character was at all. But I did think Tom Hardy was really great as one of the brothers, the voice you just heard. And then I also like Jessica Chastain as his love interest.
So that suggests that, complicated or not, they may have got the period right. They evoke the history reasonably well, Rafer?
I think that looks really good. It's a very lush-looking period piece. I actually found it to be a lot of fun. It seems to me like the first kind of movie of the fall season. It's got a great cast. It's very well acted, but it's not too serious. And it's actually, I think, has a really good sense of humor about it. And I think Guy Pearce is just hilarious in the role of Charlie Rakes. I think he steals the show. He's dressed up like a jazz age dandy, but he speaks like a Nazi scientist, and he just chews the scenery up, and I think he makes the movie really entertaining. I actually really enjoyed the film.
Is this a comedy or a drama?
It is a drama, but I think it is trying not to get too bogged down in trying to make you take it too seriously as a piece of historical, as an authentic historical document. I think it wants to be an entertaining, pulpy kind of film, and I think it works really well on that level.
Succeeds with Rafer, fails with Kristen. Let's move on to Possession. This is about a young girl who's possessed by spirits in a box she buys at a yard sale, which you got to love that right off the bat.
I'm calling Mom.
That's not happening. And if you keep talking to me like this, you're going to be grounded the rest of the weekend.
I don't love you.
Emily.
Then Mommy doesn't love you. You think you know everything, but you
better knock it off.
So is this a creeper or one of those finding emotional serenity in the unlikely places, Kristen?
I love that description. There's no serenity in this. This takes place not only in a family that's being torn apart, but also this demon is so terrifying and so scary, but so not like other demons, because rather than being one that can be exorcised by a Catholic priest, we need Hasidic Jews to take care of it in this movie. So there are a few different twists that make it slightly different than other possession movies.
Do they try the Catholics and they go, oh, right, we need the Hasidics? Is that how it works?
Well, that box at the yard sale has got Hebrew writing on the outside. So it's pretty clear from the get-go.
Rafer?
You know, again, intentionally or not, I thought this movie was actually really funny. And I think most people in the audience where I was also got a real kick out of it. I think, again, the movie doesn't take itself very seriously. I almost feel like it's not trying to scare you so much as it is trying to make you laugh at the cliches that you recognize from other horror films. And Sam Raimi is a producer on this movie. And I feel like his stamp, you can kind of feel that sort of horror comedy stamp from him on this film.
But it's not Henny Youngman meets Sixth Sense, is it?
No, but I mean, you know, the camera is such a ham. It's always sneaking up on people and getting right in their faces and then throwing them out a window. It's actually people in the audience were laughing, and I think they were laughing with it, not so much at it.
Rafer's liking, Kristen.
I liked it, but I have to disagree. I thought it was very scary.
Oh,
Didn't you hear me screaming?
I was in the theater. Was that you?
I was the one person screaming in the theater. There were a lot of people laughing. It's true, but I was screaming. I thought it was really scary.
Don't do a lot of flea market shopping.
Not anymore. No more. No.
Right. So here's a movie, the premise of which actually freaks me out a little bit. Oogie Loves, it's called.
That's right.
All right. It's a live action children's movie, not animated, right?
But right.
Is Teletubbies live action technically, or is that animated?
Teletubbies is live action.
It's live action. All right. And Teletubbies is something that this movie looks like. Listen.
How are we going to board that little hat?
It's getting closer and bigger.
It's bigger than an automobile.
It's bigger than an elephant.
It's bigger than an airplane.
That's the biggest hat I've ever seen.
Good afternoon, my colorful friends. We are Lola and Lero Sombrero.
I don't know. It sounds a little bit like it might be on Mitt Romney's iPod playlist. What is this? Teletubbies meets X-Men?
Yeah, it's from the guy who brought the Teletubbies over to America, and it feels very much like the Teletubbies. You know, it's the three characters searching for magic balloons in a village called Lovely Loveville. And, you know, it's very cutesy-wootsy. It's interactive, so children are supposed to get up, sing, chant, dance. There are on-screen cues for this. So if you're a parent...
Parent killer?
It's going to numb your brain. I mean, it really is going to turn your brain to applesauce.
But the kids will love it.
The kids may love it.
That's right. All right. So Rafer Guzman, Kristen Meinzer, that's the three movies, Lawless, Possession, and Oogle Loves. And do you know the trivia question, 1987, about Elliot Ness?
Untouchables.
Untouchables.
Absolutely. Go to the website, takeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.